Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, in the Globe Trotting Program, Alhamdulillah, where we talk travel, and on this lovely Sunday morning, with the weather also now from what it was Monday, Tuesday, it was extremely, extremely cold. Last week we had the snows and so on around in the country, but shukar alhamdulillah, today we have lovely weathers, and it seems like this much of a winter, eh? It looked at good, good weathers, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, shukr alhamdulillah for all what Allah has blessed us with, alhamdulillah. But be that as it may, life goes on all over, inshallah, Allah make it easy for all. With all these issues that we're getting, all the problems that we're hearing throughout the world, Allah make it easy for one and all, inshallah. Allah is Allah Malik. Now, we had at some time, I think about before Ramadan, we had the Malaysian embassy that came in and we spoke about Malaysia and we had very interesting facts about Malaysia. And alhamdulillah, they came up with a promo for our listeners in particular, and they said they will give a special promotion for listeners to go out to Malaysia. They had a good response. They had quite a few people wanting to go. And this week also, I got a couple of calls from some people asking me if the deal is still on for them to go. And alhamdulillah, it is still on. If anybody would like to contact the Malaysian embassy, or you can contact me and I will put you on to them also. Or you can SMS me on 072-786-5520, that's 0786-5520, and I definitely will put you on to them. It's a trip that they're embarking, I think they're taking a couple of people in December, and it's a trip which we embarked on late last year, alhamdulillah. It was a fantastic trip. It was a road trip from Kuala Lumpur up north to Kedah State, and that was amazing. There's lots of places in between which we saw and which I never thought that I would see. But
gremlins we have on technicalities, I would say, ma, for that. But anyway, as I was saying, it was a journey that we embarked on. It was a fantastic journey, alhamdulillah. And it was a road trip, so it made a big difference. Whereas many a times when we fly abroad, we tend to go from city to city. We find the easiest way of going across is just to fly off, even if it's like for a 30-minute flight. We do that, and we take a flight across, and we'll go. And we find it so much easier, but we don't realize what we're missing out if we do not embark on a road trip, and that makes a difference in life. So going anywhere also, it makes a very, very big difference when you want to really explore a country where you're not only going city hopping, you're going and you're visiting different countries as a whole. And by doing so, what you're doing is you're going to one city, from there you're driving to another city, you are going between villages. I give you an example. When I was in Pakistan some time back, and we decided from Karachi we were going to go up to Islamabad. But then we decided, let us go to Murree from there and see how it's going to be like, what's Murree like. We then, with some friends who were in Pakistan also at the time, and they were Pakistani nationals, but they were from South Africa living there, and they went back to Pakistan. So when we got there, they said, listen, let's do something different. While we were in Karachi, we got two cars, and we decided, let us drive up to Murree. And that journey is like, I would say, a couple of thousand kilometers up. And he said, let's drive up to Murree. Okay, not a problem. Let's drive up to Murree. But what's it like? You know, it's the first time we're going through such rough terrains. I would call it rough terrains. And believe me, we did it. We got into Karachi. When we started the journey from Karachi, we started slowly up going towards the top. We stopped after about 4 or 5 hours. We stopped in some village, in some remote village. And this people knew some people in that village and said, listen, can we just stay over in this village for tonight, even if there's a motel or anything, whatever it is. But they were so hospitable, they put us in some side rooms and so on. But we slept on charpais, those four-poster beds that's got like ropes across on the top as a spring. And we slept on that for the night. But we did what the villagers did. And the next morning, we had our fresh breakfast. We got into the vehicle and we drove up further. It took us a couple of days to go up to Murree. But we visited almost village to village we went through. And it was an amazing trip. It was, I don't think I would have ever enjoyed that country the way we enjoyed that particular trip. It was just amazing. Beautiful, we did that. We went up to the top, came to Murree. Same story, we came, we spent some time there. And it so happened while we were there, we looked across on the other side and it was snowing. What a beautiful sight. And if you know Murree, you'll see, you'll know it's a mountainous area where you have buildings, or I would say small little houses, right on the top of hilltops of mountaintops. And from there, you're looking across into, is it Kashmir, if I'm not mistaken, and you're looking at the snow falling on that side. What a beautiful sight. Now, that is what you do when you're doing a road trip. Likewise, when we embarked on this trip from Kedah State to Kuala Lumpur end of last year, we did the same. And we came down slowly, slowly from the top. And we stopped over in different parts of the country. And we stayed over in one forest also. And from there, we came further down. But what a beautiful trip. And we thoroughly enjoyed that particular Malaysian trip. And that was so, so, so amazing. And that's when I suggested and I said, and I spoke to the embassy guys and I said, why don't you guys just do something for our listeners? And that's when we came on and they spoke and they said, okay, they will do something for the listeners. They got hold of one of their partners and said, listen, let's do a deal. Let's do a package. And we get our, we do it for the Radio Islam listeners to just group up and go the first or second week of December up to Malaysia to embark on a similar trip as that. And I think that would be a lovely one. But be that as it may, alhamdulillah, that's the way we do things. That's the way we enjoy yourself when you go out to a different part of the to different parts of the world. And that is the beauty of touring another country. Unlike flying into a destination, when you get to the destination, all you're doing is, once you're in, visit the city, get into a taxi, drive from the shopping center to the next one, and that's it. And you've come back and you say, I bought this from that country, I bought that from this country, and whatever it may be, and I enjoyed myself. But enjoy yourself if you're going in and you're going into the depths of the country, I would say, and going into the rural areas of the country. That's what you would enjoy. And that is the way I love doing things when it comes to going on a holiday, especially where you have time and you can do things like that. So you're not just hit and run for 1-2 days. You are going in for a couple of days, and by doing so, you are now exploring a country as it's supposed to be explored, alhamdulillah. That's the way it is. And that's when you will appreciate other countries. That's when you will appreciate how some people live in other countries. It was amazing for me to note when we went to Pakistan that some of the villagers never knew what a laptop was when we had that in our hands. They never knew what a laptop was, and they looked like, stunned. What is this? So remote. But that is the way it is. That's how people live. Alhamdulillah. Today we want to go to a country that has not hesitated in making up for the lost time, although it lived in self-imposed isolation for 150 years. Anyone who's eaten sushi or used a Sony PlayStation feels they know something about the slinky archipelago of some 6,800 volcanic islands. And yet, from the moment of arrival in the country, it's almost as if you've touched down on another planet. It's a place of ancient gods and customs, but it is also the cutting edge of cool modernity. High-speed trains whisk you from one end of the country to another with awe-inspiring punctuality. In the suburbs of a sprawling metropolis, you can catch sight of a farmer tending his paddy fields. Then turn the corner and find yourself next to a neon-festooned electronic games parlor, maybe. One day you could be picking through fashion in the biggest department store on earth, and the next relaxing in an outdoor hot spring pool, watching cherry blossom or snowflakes fall depending on the season. Few other countries have, in the space of a few generations, experienced so much or made such an impact, industrialized at lightning speed. It shed its feudal trappings to become the most powerful and outwardly aggressive country in Asia in a matter of decades. After defeat in World War II, it transformed itself from atom bomb victim to wonder economy, the envy of the globe. The vast majority of the population live on a crowded coastal plains of the main island. The three other main islands, running north to south, are all linked by bridges and tunnels that are part of one of its modern wonders. Its super efficient transport network of trains and highways. In the cities, you'll first be struck by the mass of people. These hyperactive metropolises are the place to catch the latest trend. The hippest fashions, the most cutting edge technologies, before they hit the rest of the world. And you guessed it by now. We're going to talk a bit of Japan today. Japan, we find, it may not be a destination of choice, but Japan is a country that should be on your list to visit. It is a country which will awe you from what it is and what it has and what it has to offer. It's an amazing country. It's a country in East Asia. It's an island nation in the Pacific Ocean with high-rise filled cities, imperial palaces, mountainous national parks, and thousands of shrines and temples. Tokyo, the crowded capital, is known for its neon skyscrapers and its culture. In contrast, Kyoto offers the Buddhist temples, the Shinto shrines, the garden and cherry blossoms. Sushi, which is the national dish, is served everywhere from casual places, casual takeaways, restaurants, to gourmet restaurants, and to classic restaurants. That is sushi. So it is just a country that is totally different, completely different. Then you have the cities itself, which is a crowded city, an overpopulated city, and alhamdulillah, it's a country which you can go from city center to go into the most rural areas within minutes, which is close by, and that is what you will enjoy. And it is a stratovolcanic archipelago of 6,852 islands. The four largest are Honshu, Hokkaido, Kyushu, and Shikoku, which make up about 97% of Japan's land area. The country is divided into 47 prefectures in 8 regions. The population is 126 million, and it's the world's 10th largest. Japan, the Japanese people make up of 98% of Japan's total population. Approximately 9.1 million people live in the core city of Tokyo. So this Tokyo alone has got, I would call it overpopulated. Because if you look at the capital city, which is Tokyo, has got high-rise buildings. And property value, or I would say value of apartments, is exorbitant. It's just amazingly high. And that is in Tokyo itself. And the greater Tokyo area, which includes Tokyo and several surrounding prefectures, is the world's largest metropolitan area with about 35 million residents and the world's largest urban agglomeration economy. Now, if you're looking at that number of people the greater Tokyo area, it's not huge. It's not even as big as, I wouldn't think it's as big as South Africa. Israel is the country itself is smaller than that, so you can imagine how populated that place is. Archaeological research indicates that Japan was inhabited as early as the Upper Paleolithic period, which is donkeys years ago, I would say. The first written mention of Japan is in Chinese history texts from the 1st century. Influence from other regions, mainly Imperial China, followed by periods of isolation, particularly from Western Europe, has characterized Japan's history. From the 12th century up until 1868, Japan was ruled by successive feudal military shoguns who ruled in the name of the emperor. And Japan entered into a long period of isolation in the early 17th century, which was ended in 1853 when the United States fleet pressured Japan to open to the West. Nearly two decades of internal conflict and interaction followed before the emperor was then restored as head of state in 1868. And the Empire of Japan was then proclaimed, with the emperor as a divine symbol of the nation. And in the late 19th and 20th centuries, victories in the First Sino-Japanese War, the Russo-Japanese War, and the World War I allowed Japan to expand its empire during a period of increasing militarization. And then you have the Second World War. And you have there's so much of history, rich history, about Japan itself. But what we're going to do is we'll talk about the main tourist spots of Japan. We're going to talk about a guide in Japan's tourism also. And luckily for us, we are going to be having a guest who's in Japan at the moment and who's currently living in Japan. And we're going to be talking to the guest who's had experiences, personal experiences from South Africa, living in Japan, and what's life like out there, inshallah. We'll do that right after the news.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on this lovely morning, cool Sunday morning, alhamdulillah. And we're talking Japan today. Out of all places, Japan? Yes, Japan is a destination to go to. Japan is a place that you should also visit. Let us not be stereotyped and go to all go to one or the same country all the time. Let us explore and go differently. There are many people that have been to Japan already. While doing research a bit on tourism in Japan, I found there are so many people that went and they had fantastic holiday time, enjoyed themselves. Although some say it's a bit expensive there though, but exceptionally enjoyable holiday. So let's look into that. If there's anybody that's very much interested in that, look into Japan and see. There's so much to do in Japan, and there's just like when it comes to going for a destination for a holiday like that, we tend to feel that what are we going to do in a bustling city? What are we going to do that we're going to get into the hotel, we're going to get into the taxi, we're going to get into a train, we're going to move up, down, go shopping centers and back again? That's what we're going to do. There's more to it than that. It offers you, in fact, any destination offers you more than what you think it offers you. Why? Because you do not explore it from home. You explore it when you're there. Now, when you're sitting in the comfort of your home and you're trying to explore a country to say that, it's just a destination that's got so many shopping centers. Like, for example, many people tell me, many people tell me, you're going to Dubai, you're wasting your time, it's just only city, city, city. Nothing like that. Believe me, it is amazing when you go out into the open and you find there's much more to do. Likewise, Japan is the same. As I said, Japan is about, as you heard the whole program in the beginning, what Japan, it's got so much to offer, although it has such rich history. What Japan came out from after the war and what it is now, chalk and cheese. And it's an amazing country to visit. Most people in Japan are taught basic English in school. But even so, if you're not traveling with someone who knows the language, it's best to make an effort to learn just a few words. And anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world you go, learn a few basic words of that particular country. And that makes a difference. In fact, when you greet them in their own language, they look at you with big eyes and, oh, wow, you know the language. It's like that. And that happens. Just then you say, no, I just learned just a few words. And that breaks the ice already when you start a conversation with somebody, be it in a taxi, be it in a train, in a bus, wherever it may be. Now, there's so much that we got to know about places like this. And when you go as a tourist, you tend to get so-called lost in a certain country because you are afraid of exploring certain things. Even in cities, you're afraid of exploring and getting into a bus, for example. You would prefer getting into a taxi that you know that will take you from point A to B. You are too afraid to get lost. First thing you do when you get to a hotel, take the hotel card, keep a couple of cards with you, and with the whole group that you go in, take one card each. If anything does happen and you do get lost somewhere in any country, or even it's like now in Japan that we're talking of, as busy as it may be, you take out the business card and you present it to the taxi, or you present it to whoever you want must assist you, and believe me, they will definitely take you back to the hotel where you started from. So that's the way to do it. So let's not be afraid. Let's get into a bus and just move on, and you'll enjoy it like that. In fact, that's what I did when I was in Brazil. We got into buses and we moved around. We got lost. We took the car. We said we want to go back to so and so place. We got back and we said, and now we start again. Let's catch a bus and let's go in another direction. And that's how we enjoyed ourselves. And that's lovely. That's the way to do it. Now we do have Tisnim online here, who's living in Japan and who decided to move off work for work related reasons, move off to Japan. She's been there for a while. And I guess by now she might be already talking Japanese, right? We'll talk to her in English. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Tasneem, how are you?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, and you?
Alhamdulillah.
You're not going to say wakarimasuka or something to me now, huh?
I can, but maybe later in the program.
Inshallah. So, thank you for joining me on this lovely Sunday morning. I really appreciate it. In fact, when we started when we decided to talk on Japan, the first thing that came to my mind was, this thing is there, and that would be ideal. Instead of talking to a Japanese person, let's talk to someone of our own who's in Japan and who's now been in Japan and who's so-called a converted Japanese, and maybe we'll get more experiences or we'll get more information from a person like you, alhamdulillah. And Jazakallah, it's been a while that you're in Japan already, so you must have adapted yourself well to the Japanese the nation and the Japanese and Japanese culture already, I would say.
See, I'm already staying here for close to 2 years already.
All right.
And so far, it's been amazing in so many ways, alhamdulillah. Like, it's such an easy place to live in, although it's so, so different from South Africa. It's vastly different to many other countries that people move to, like England, Australia, for instance. But people are so accepting, everything's so easy in the country, like it's so convenient and accessible, so it's been really easy, except for the language which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
That can be a bit of a struggle at times, but if you just try and learn a little bit of Japanese, at least a few basic words, it makes your time here much easier, you know.
But on the whole, it's been... When you're saying language, being now international... There must be lots of these Japanese that are now, although their English is very different, but they must be understanding English, or there must be some way of you communicating with even the locals, I presume.
Yeah, they're starting to learn a lot of English here, so it's compulsory in schools, just like you mentioned earlier. But I find that Japanese people aren't very confident to speak English yet, so they don't speak English that well, and prefer to speak Japanese, but the younger people speak English a lot more. But when you like use taxis, for instance, or visit many stores, or if you visit the countryside, you find that people don't speak English. So it's better to just have basic Japanese. But nowadays, with like Google Translate, for instance, you're never stranded. You know, it's just so easy to like get whatever you need translated instantly, and
yes,
you just move on.
That's the way it is. Now, the country itself. Okay, you embarked on this particular migration from your work related,
yeah.
And when you started off...
I'm actually studying over here.
Are you studying there? Ah, okay. So now when you embarked on this particular journey to go back, to go up there, what was it like initially? Because to go out into such a destination which you know you're going to spend a lot of time there, and to adapt yourself to that culture and that lifestyle of totally different, and it's totally different from our lifestyle that we have in all respects, including the living conditions. Now, was there any reservations that you had, and then when you got there, what was it like?
You know, I was really excited, I think, because I always had an interest in Japan from a young age. Like, I was always fascinated by the technology and the fashion and design and that kind of thing. But before coming here, like, I myself just did a lot of research. And nowadays, like, it's so easy to find any information you need online. So I just checked a lot of things in terms of, like, housing and how people live and, like, what the prices of houses are and, you know, how easy it is to get around to different places. That helped me decide where I want to stay, because I had a choice of a number of universities, for instance, and I chose to stay in Kyoto, which is a smaller, more traditional city, but much easier to live in as a student. So I think it's just necessary, whether you're living here permanently or as a tourist, to do some homework beforehand. It makes it easier for your trip here. I think it also makes it cheaper if you're coming here as a tourist. And just, you know, prepare accordingly.
Now, when it comes to getting around in... Now, if you're talking of the place where you are at the moment... when it comes to your transporting, when transporting yourself from the city center to all these different destinations, what's it like? And what's your transport system like in the main city center, in the hub of it all, when you are there?
So, myself, my daily transportation is by bicycle.
Oh, okay.
It's just the easiest and quickest way to get around anywhere, and it's quite enjoyable, actually. But like I said, Kyoto is smaller. When you move into the bigger cities, we're generally just using the train or bus. It's so, so convenient, and it's so punctual. Like, we often time the trains, you know, to see if they'll ever be late. We've never had a train delay here in 2 years already. So the trains and buses are super convenient, super cheap. If you come as a tourist, they often have packages available, such as Japan Rail Pass, which you can buy if you're a tourist. And it makes it much cheaper to travel on, like, the bullet trains, for instance. Like, bullet trains are so convenient. You get between, like, Tokyo and Kyoto in 2 hours. I mean, that is the distance of like, say, Durban to Johannesburg.
But okay.
It's just a two-hour trip on the bullet train, no check-in time, no luggage needs to be checked in. You just get on the train, and within 2 hours, you're at your destination, Wi-Fi on board. So it's really convenient, so advanced. It's so different from anything we have back home. And it's really enjoyable, something new to experience.
That must be something nice to do. But then again, the parcels that you're talking of, the Japanese rail parcels that you get, I was, in fact, when I was doing some research on that, I found that it is easier for you to buy it from abroad as a tourist coming in, and it would be much much cheaper for you to buy it then and then come in with your passes and do your trip from there as a tourist.
Yeah, it's much better. Right now, it's best to buy your Japan Rail Pass before coming to the country. They actually don't sell it in Japan, so you have to order it before you come to Japan. And when you reach the country, you exchange the pass for an actual voucher, which you can use on the trains. And you get different options, like 7-day, 14-day, 21-day. Usually a 7-day is enough if you're coming like on a 2-week trip over here, because you try and like fit all your long-distance travel within 7 days. And now with the current like currency conversion, I think it costs something like 3,000 rand for the pass, but that covers all your long distance bullet trains and also other local trains as well. So it's definitely worth it if you're doing a trip here.
So that works out very much cheaper than what you would do, because I look at Vietnam, for example. You go from Hanoi to Saigon, or from one of those long because it's an elongated S country. You'd find that your destination, as you said, is like from Johannesburg to Durban, 4, 5, 6 hour journey, and you'd pay like $30-$40 per flight, and you pay much more internally as well. Now, if you're looking at about 3,000 rands, where you can do all your long distances, it's well worth it to do that then.
It's definitely worth it, because the bullet train, for instance, from Kyoto to Tokyo costs you, it's over 2,000 rand. So if you buy this rail pass, you can do like 10 of those trips with one rail pass, and it's all covered. So it's definitely something to consider if you're touring here.
And the rail pass takes you, the rail pass that you have, is it restricted only to the rail system, or you can use it on other transport, public transportation systems also?
It's mainly just for the rail system, so it covers most of the bullet trains. It also covers a lot of the local trains. So anything that's operated by JR, which is Japan Railway, is covered by the pass. It also covers one ferry. There's a popular island which many tourists visit near Hiroshima. It's called Miyajima Island. And this pass also covers the ferry into Miyajima Island. So it's really, really convenient, because with that pass you can get to all of the popular tourist cities and destinations, all covered within that pass.
So I think that would be the best to do if you're leaving for Japan, is to get the rail pass. Now, when it comes to the currency, what's the currency like? Now, I always compare, when it comes to currency and cost of living, compare it to a can of Coke. Now, I know Japan is pretty expensive, but rand-wise, what would a can of Coke cost you?
So, you know, but I don't drink Coke, so I'm just going to ask Ashraf quickly, because he always drinks Coke. How much do you pay for a can of Coke in yen?
110 yen.
He says, we always buy from the vending machines. That's another trick. You see, there's many things you can do when you come as a tourist to make your trip cheaper. So you get like 100 yen stores, and you get 100 yen vending machines, for instance.
Yeah.
So we always find these little things where you can get away with bargains. So you can get a Coke out of that one machine for 100 yen. But Ashraf says on average he pays 110 yen for a small bottle of Coke from the vending machine.
Equivalent to
then? But just to give you an idea, so like now the currency is, like our currency is a little poor. So right now for 1 rand you get about 7 yen. When we came here in 2014, for 1 rand, you would get about 10 yen. So the rand has depreciated by almost 30%.
Yes, it
has. So generally, like, things are expensive now, but I think as a tourist, you can definitely find ways to make it an affordable trip. I think it can be as equally expensive or cheap as visiting, like, Dubai or London or any of those destinations, but I mean, you can make it as expensive or cheap as you want it to be.
Okay, now, I was going to ask you about the ATMs, but we are really almost out of time. So, I believe that all ATMs don't accept Visa and MasterCard, international MasterCard?
No, many, you know what's funny, the banking system here tends to be a little behind. As advanced as this country is, banking can be difficult at times, but Visa is accepted, or you can draw money from a Visa at a lot of 7-Elevens. That's
yes.
easy, but I do advise you to carry cash because many cafes and restaurants still only accept cash. But you don't have to come to Japan with a whole lot of yen. When you land here, it's easy to draw money. And every time you see a 7-Eleven, you can draw money. And basically, there's a 7-Eleven on every corner. So
exactly.
draw money yes. and then just keep cash for food and so on. But for travel, you'll have like your rail passes or your train cards and... You just need a little bit of money for
of money all the time. Okay, now the last question before we go off. The best time for us as South Africans with our weather as you know it, what's the best time to visit Japan?
The most popular times here are during cherry blossom, which they call Sakura. That's end of March, early April. It's the most beautiful time in Japan. The second most popular time is Momiji season. That's autumn. That's around
okay.
November. It tends to be a little colder. But I think any time from March up until September is okay. Like, I mean, us South Africans, we're used to hot weather. So now
yeah.
it's extremely hot. But I think we can deal with weather like that. And Sakura is a really expensive time to visit because it's the most popular time in Japan. So if you really want to see the cherry blossom, then come end of March, early April. Otherwise, wait for the crowds to subside a little and come before... October, before it starts getting too cold.
Right, because according to when I was doing research, it says your temperatures go up to about 35 between mid-July to late September. That's your summer season, and it reaches a peak
yeah.
of 35 degrees.
Yeah, so it gets really hot, but aside from the temperature, it's extremely humid in certain areas. So even though it's 35, it feels like it's over 40. But
yeah.
I think it's okay. I think South Africans can deal with weather like that.
Inshallah. I really, really appreciate you. We're already out of time. I really appreciate you talking to us. In fact, there's so much more. I have so much other questions to ask you. I'm so excited to ask you other questions that we're already out of time. Inshallah, we will find another time to talk to you also where we can discuss a little more about Japan because it's so interesting to talk to a person who is of our culture and our way of life, and then you've moved over to that side and now you've experienced that type of life. That makes such a big difference for us as South Africans living this side and wanting to go either for a holiday or, like you say, even if you're going to study, you're going to work, whatever it may be, and you can share all those experiences with people from this side, and that makes such a big difference for us. So alhamdulillah, inshallah, we will be able to talk to you some other time also, which I am going to be talking more about Japan, because I didn't even touch on Japan. I have so much to talk about, so much of interesting things when it comes to you talking of this cherry blossom thing. There are so many different towns which have got different activities which I've come up with. Then you have all the Meguro River, then you have the Aoyama
yeah.
Cemetery, the Shinjuku, Gion, and then you got so much things which I don't have time to talk of right now. But just a little that you've touched, that you've now tantalized our taste buds with, inshallah, there will be people that will want to go to Japan, inshallah. If there's anybody that would like to know more about Japan, you may contact me on 072-786-5520. But remember, you do require a visa to go to Japan. So if there's anything also, you can contact me and I'll give you the information. Sister Tasnim, Jazakallah for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning. And before you go off, you're going to greet us in Japanese and then you're going to go off, inshallah. Jazakallah once again. And inshallah, your stay in Japan will be a wonderful stay. And inshallah, everything of the best for you. We are going to the polls on Wednesday. And unfortunately, you're far away, so you can't vote. And just wish us luck, that's all.
Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Muhammad. Inshallah, ameen to your du'as.
Jazakallah.
I think the best way to greet in Japan is sayonara. It's really common, sayonara. And then arigato gozaimasu. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Now you're tongue-twisting. Jazakallah for that. Let us speak to you.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu.
Jazakallah for that, Sister Tasnim. Jazakallah. That is Sister Tasnim, who's from Wombat. Well, she will be coming back again from Bella Bella. And she's where she's gone over to Japan, and alhamdulillah, she's having a good time. She's there with her husband also, and they are having a good time there where they were, well, I was under the impression that she was working there, but she's studying also. So inshallah, make it easy for her, and I hope she has a good time. And she sounds like she is having a time where she's enjoying herself there with all her experiences. And you know, when a person is, when a person is an outgoing person and a bubbly person, naturally you will find that you, wherever you go, you will adapt yourself and you will enjoy yourself and you'll have a good time. Although you may be working, you may be studying, you may be doing anything like that, but you will have a good time because of the person that you are. And that is exactly what Sister Tasneem is, and inshallah she will have a very good time, and we wish her all the luck in her studies also. And inshallah, if she does come back to South Africa, if she does or she decides to come back again, she comes back in one piece, inshallah. We will see next week. I'm not so sure what is the program for next week, but we probably, I'm looking at talking about either Suriname, or we're looking at Trinidad and Tobago. Now, I've got both of them online to see which one we should talk to. I'm going to be checking out by Tuesday, Wednesday latest, and let's see. I think we'll go on with Trinidad and Tobago. It sounds very, very interesting, though, and let's see if we can catch that on for next week, inshallah. From myself, Mohammed Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.